Good morning. The Lord be with you. It is a joy to be together. I want to take a quick moment and go over announcements in our bulletin. You can see that we've changed a couple of things. We still have a wonderful prayer list here, list of concerns, but we are giving less details about people. This is to protect confidentiality and to keep everyone safe as we pray. So thank you for understanding the need to do that. You can see that we have the excitement of Promotion Sunday for our kids and youth today. They had a wonderful breakfast together that included their Sunday school teachers in the last hour, and we're grateful for it all going so well. These school kits for United Methodist women are almost gone. I am so proud. I don't think there's more than about five in the narthex that need to be filled. So if you could grab one on your way out today, we'll be finished up. That is amazing, and I'm so grateful for it. Please do fill out your connection card. If you would like to meet and greet your pastor, the next opportunity is this Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning. You can contact the church office to register. So far, about 60 people have come in three sessions, and we've had a great time. I'd be glad to talk with each one of you. It would be a blessing. And I think, oh yes, please do notice our wonderful Wednesdays coming up soon in about a month. We still need a few more volunteers. We're going to pick up kids at school and drive them to church for a wonderful program, Bible study, music, supper. And then we adults will begin after supper with Bible study and choir. So if you can help out, drivers, snack help, craft helpers, substitute helpers, that would be lovely. Will you pray with me? Gather us in, kind God, on this morning of beauty. Gather our hearts to open to your gospel, to the saints who've gone before us and taught us well about faithful living, to beautiful music and earnest prayers. We are here because we are your people. Bless us, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
invite you now to stand as you're able, and let's turn together in our hymnals to page 201 as we read responsively our call to worship. 801, thank you. It's hard to get good help even if you've been here a long time. Let us read. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, who you led Joseph like a flock, who you enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth in the presence of Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come to save us.
Restore us, O God, that we may be saved.
O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You made us the scorn of our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves.
Restore us, O God of hosts, that your face shine, that we may be saved.
You brought a vine out of Egypt, you drove out the nations, and you planted it.
You cleared the ground for it, it took deep root and filled the land.
The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with the branches. Why then have you broken down its walls so that all who pass along the way pluck its fruit?
The Lord from the forest ravages it, and all that bloom in the field feed on it.
Turn again, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and see.
Have regard for this sign, the spot which your right hand pointed.
They have burned it with fire, they have cut it down. May they perish at the rebuke of your countenance.
Let your hand be upon those of your right hand, the ones who you made strong for yourself.
Then we will never turn back from you. Give us life, and we will call on your name.
Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved.
We continue in worship by singing together All Creatures of Our God and King, found on 62. And please note that we sing only verses 1, 2, 3, 5, and 7.
Thank you.
Turn now and greet those near you.
We promote our children and youth to new Sunday school classes and bless all of our students as they continue in Sunday school this year. So I invite all of our children and youth to come forward at this time. All children and youth. We had a very good big group at early service, so it's so great to see all of these children in church. So we're going to start with the ones that are promoting to a new grade this Sunday, and our very youngest ones that are entering the kindergarten through second grade class was Seth Brown, who was at the 8:30 service, and Olivia Brewer. And I have a little gift for you, Olivia. I'm starting kindergarten. Very exciting. Our next promotion going into the third grade is Ashlyn Brewer and David Lamasny. And I'm going to ask you guys to come right here. They are moving into the third and fifth grade class, and this is a very special step in the life of the church as we always present Bibles to them at this age group. So we have some Bibles for you. Now their name. So was this one on top? This one is Ashlyn's then, and it has your name in it and all of those wonderful things. And this is for David. And does this look familiar? This is what we do for our Sunday school class. So it's very special Bibles that I think you will enjoy. And I want to say a little blessing for those, okay? So
I have come to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. What would you think if you invited a house guest into your home who was going to spend all night, who made that statement to you at your table? Jesus, what are you saying? And what is it that you intend with such a powerful image? I was up at our little cabin in Patrick County, Virginia, near Meadows of Dan about a month ago. And I was alone there with two corgi dogs getting some work done around the place, and a big thunderstorm came up. Dramatic. A lot of electricity in the sky. And I thought, it'd be nice to climb into bed kind of early, turn the light on, listen to the rain hit the tin roof, and finish up this wonderful German murder mystery I'd found here at the Waynesboro Library. Well, lightning hit a transformer very nearby, just at a really dramatic part in my novel. There was this earth-shaking boom. Everything went white. I screamed, and two corgis were plastered on either side of me. And the fire started to burn. But because of the heavy rains, was put out without much trouble. There is incredible power in electricity and fire. You know, out west in Kansas and farther west all the way to the west coast, firefighters have a term for underbrush. They call it fuel. Because once it gets going, it is hard to stop a burning fire across the prairie or out in the Great West, Colorado, and the West Coast. A raging forest fire is the polar opposite of what we think of as tamed fire, a warm hearth, a welcoming wood stove. When we lived in Iran, they celebrated a Persian New Year's that ended with people jumping over bonfires. This was very unusual behavior. You know, Iran, Persia, has a Zoroastrian background. Those were the first monotheists. Cyrus the Great, do you remember, who let the Hebrew people leave their exile, go back and rebuild the temple? He was a Zoroastrian. And Xerxes, lots and lots of them. The Magi, who came to baby Jesus, probably were Zoroastrians. So this flavors the culture. In Iran, they celebrate the New Year's for 2 weeks, which I think would be grand. Newspaper offices close, 2 weeks. Schools close. If you need a passport, forget it. It's closed. Everybody's gone home. On the last day of New Year's, the 14th day of Chahar Shanbei, Wednesday, people build little fires in the roads, sometimes pretty big bonfires, and everybody gives a try at jumping over it. I mean everybody, grandmothers, little kids, Boy Scouts, everybody gives a try at jumping over the bonfires. If there are teenagers, they try to add to the fun, put some accelerant on the flames, which really gets things going. But they honor fire, and their jumping is a way of saying, what's old is burned up and gone, and we're jumping into newness and life. I think that might be pretty close to what Jesus is saying when he says, I have come to bring fire to the earth. Fire is so attractive in a fireplace. It draws us. But fire also has a potential that we know beyond a point we cannot control. Jesus says, I have come to set the world a light and a fire. Now you'll notice in Luke 12, there is a real shift in the tone of Luke. Luke from now on is going to continue in two different levels. When Jesus is talking to crowds that are people on the margins, the poor, the stranger, the folks who don't have a place, he's going to talk about the unconditional love and welcome of God. But for the disciples, those of us in a closer circle, he's going to say things like, how much longer do I have to put up with you? Ouch, that's pretty direct talk. The fire of the good news is meant to bring us to a place of commitment and decision and discipleship that will sharply divide human beings. We will do the hard stuff, says Jesus. We will be set on fire because first we have experienced God's love, God's grace. And as we make a return on that love, we will be part of his fire in the earth. How many of you like the circus and especially like trapeze artists? Anybody like trapeze artists? I think they are just awesome, but I will not watch unless there is a net. You know? I read an interview with a member of the Flying Rodley family. A famous trapeze family comes out of Habsburg, Germany. Long, long lineage. And this patriarch of the family, who was famous in the 1990s for being way up in the air and doing bat flips and turns and all kinds of things before he was caught and swung to safety, said, "You know, the truth is, I really don't do much of anything." And the reporter said, "Excuse me?" And he said, "No, I really have the easy part. I have the gymnastics in the air, but it all depends on the catcher and me trusting the catcher. You know, the catcher is the person waiting at the right split second to come swinging over on another trapeze." He says, "If I reach out and grab that catcher myself, I might break his wrists and mine both. My job is to do my thing in the air, relax, put my arms out, and be caught. The catcher has the hard job. The catcher is the one upon whom I depend for my life." And this particular reporter said, "You know, I think that's much like the role of God in our lives. Faith, which of course is just the Greek word for trust, is trusting that God is our catcher. That when we do the things we're called to do in life, we can relinquish and trust that that great and holy catcher is there for us." You know, the Greek word for fire is pur, P-U-R, as in purify. Like a refiner's fire that burns away things that are not important. Our mission as people on fire for Jesus is to confront bad values, lostness in our own culture, whether it's in Rome, as the letter to the Hebrews is addressing, in the United States, in whatever culture on earth we find ourselves. But faithfulness to the reign of God, rather than to our own culture, will bring down the fire every time. It takes real courage to stand up to a culture and say, "No, that's wrong, and I won't cooperate with it." Remember that early Christians were persecuted not for their dogma, but for their devotion to Jesus, the Lord of peace and reconciliation. One of the things that has moved me deeply as a Christian living in the Middle East was people who came to Jesus from a Muslim background. Now, it takes huge trust in the Lord to do this, because if you're a Muslim, you may have to give up your marriage and your job and your kids going to university and any number of other things. And Muslims in Iran who come to love Jesus, I don't know that I ever heard anybody say, "I'm becoming a Christian." That's sort of an institutional thing to say. What they say, and usually as a whole family unit, is, "We have decided to put our trust in Jesus, because he is the great catcher who will catch us." People on fire are people with new values, trusting in their creator for the way to speak out, the way to act, the way to be discerning. Read the signs of the times. How many of you had a chance to read the paper this morning, at least a little bit? Pretty cheery news? I always read it. I'm not sure why I do. Though I've made it a discipline not to read the newspaper till I say my morning prayers. I'm just not up to it otherwise. How many of you pay close attention to weather reports? Anybody? Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Now, my mom, when she was in her later years, was a pro on the Weather Channel. You could have asked mom what the weather would be in Timbuktu next Tuesday afternoon, and mom could hook you up with all the right information. I always thought that was kind of boring until we moved to Kansas for 6 years. The first summer we lived in Kansas, that would be 2010, on a Monday in early September, there were 90 tornadoes in the state of Kansas. Believe you me, we were paying attention to the Weather Channel. Jesus says, pay attention to the times. Pay attention to the weather of your culture. We need to know when we are being, as believers, manipulated by human beings. We need to know when we are being manipulated by evil. We need to read the signs of the times so that we can stay true to the Lord of love, so that we can have a unity with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, much deeper than politics or economics or gender or any orientation you can think of. In fact, we share that unity with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the globe. So when the world says, oh, everything is so fractured, we can't have any unity, we as the body of Christ know that that's a lie. Because we are grounded in a deeper unity, a deeper love, a deeper, deeper reality. We must be defined as the family of Jesus by our love for one another and our love for our neighbors. And we never know where the people of God are, those who practice faith. Do you know that letter to the Hebrews passage that Ron read so beautifully? Normally, when we are including a family genealogy, and we have somebody like Rahab the harlot, we would probably edit that person out, right? Oh, dear. Oh, dear. That won't do at all. The letter to the Hebrews says, what nonsense. She had an opportunity and she was faithful. We have evidence of faithful people all around us. And we are in the fire of our world, in the fire of our culture. There has never been a more important time to preach and live the love and unity of Jesus. And where we will be met by faith will surprise us. I had friends from seminary way back in the 80s before the Berlin Wall came down. And they would go every summer into East Berlin and smuggle Bibles. Still, you can do this in many parts of the world. The Middle East is one, but they were going into East Germany, and you were randomly searched for luggage as it went by. And sure enough, the green light came on, and their suitcase that held any number of Gideon Bibles in German was going to be searched. And they knew it best, Frank and Lacey, that they'd go to jail and be thrown out of the country, and it could be worse than that. They had already noticed the guards, and one of the East Germans was a scary-looking big man. His face was all scarred up like he had been through horrible things. So they sat on the train and waited as their luggage was gone through, and they knew they'd get the word. And the horrible, scary-looking guard came and stood right under their train window, and he whistled. Let me see if I can do it. And off they went. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord are all around us. Let's take up that Olympic fire of the gospel. It's our turn, and the world needs it. Amen.